Greetings, it's a new day. Hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning show.
It is Wednesday, the 25th of November, and on this day before Thanksgiving, let's pray the words of Psalm 92 together, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, Most High, to proclaim your love at daybreak, your faithfulness in the night. How great are your works, Lord, how profound your designs. The just shall flourish like the palm tree, shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit even in old age. They will stay fresh and green to proclaim, "The Lord is just, my rock, in whom there is no wrong." All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. It is a better way to start the day before Thanksgiving. The Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, a production of Sacred Heart Radio, but given to you through all your various EWTN affiliates across the country and Sirius and online and however you happen to be listening. I just want to let you know on this day before Thanksgiving, we're grateful for you. I'm Matt Swaim. Anna Mitchell has news. Stockman at the control this hour. We will be talking with Dr. John Bergsma about the Hittites, a mysterious people that show up a lot in the Old Testament. Dr. Bergsma has been going through our series on how to better understand the Old Testament. We're continuing through Black Catholic History Month, and Mike Aquilina, our patristics correspondent, is going to talk about the history of the early church in Africa. You might not realize exactly how many of the biggest hitters, including three doctors of the church, come out of the continent of Africa. Gary Zimek will focus on what St. Paul has to say about gratitude, and Stephanie Mann will look at what John Henry Newman has to say about gratitude as we wrap a Thanksgiving show here later in the hour. Right now it is 2 minutes past. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. President Trump says a coronavirus vaccine could be available for some Americans sometime next month. Speaking at the White House turkey pardoning ceremony, Trump praised news from drug makers Pfizer and Moderna on the development of their vaccines, calling it a historic medical achievement. He said they give thanks for the vaccines and therapies that will soon bring the pandemic to an end. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is previewing his agenda for the first 100 days in office. Mark Mayfield reports.
In an interview with NBC News, Biden said one of his biggest priorities is to take action on an immigration bill.
I will send a immigration bill to the United States Senate with a pathway to citizenship for over 11 million undocumented people in America.
The former VP would also eliminate executive orders that President Trump made concerning the environment. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Washington Archbishop Wilton Gregory has said he would not deny Holy Communion to President-elect Biden. In an interview with the Catholic News Service from Rome, where he's in the midst of a 10-day quarantine ahead of this weekend's consistory, the cardinal-designate said he hopes to respectfully point out disagreements while working with Biden when possible. Biden, who is a practicing Catholic, has been outspoken in his support for legalized abortion to be the law of the land. The consistory to create new cardinals, meanwhile, will take place this weekend in Rome, despite the pandemic, though it will be different from years past. From Vatican Radio, Linda Bordoni reports.
For the first time in history, on the 28th of November 2020, not all the cardinals designate, chosen by Pope Francis, will be present in person to receive their red hats. Matteo Bruni, the director of the Holy See Press Office, told journalists that Cardinal Designates Cornelius Sim, the Apostolic Vicar of Brunei, and Jose Advincula of Capiz in the Philippines will not be able to attend the consistory in the Vatican because of travel restrictions related to the coronavirus pandemic. They will instead join the celebration participating remotely from their diocese through a digital platform that will allow them to connect with St. Peter's Basilica. Bruni also said that a representative of Pope Francis would present them with the red hat, the biretta, the cardinal's ring, and title connected with a Roman parish at a time to be decided later. He added that existing members of the College of Cardinals who are unable to travel to Rome for the consistory would be able to follow the ceremony via live stream. The ordinary public consistory for the creation of new cardinals will take place on Saturday afternoon at the altar of the chair in St. Peter's Basilica, with a limited congregation. Each new cardinal will only be allowed to bring a few guests or family members. What's more, they will not follow the custom of receiving well wishes in the Apostolic Palace and in the Paul VI Hall after the ceremony. The consistory that was announced by the Pope on the 25th of October will go down in history as the first to incorporate digital technology at the dawn of what is increasingly looking like a new world. I'm Linda Bordoni.
The drug maker behind OxyContin is pleading guilty to exacerbating the opioid crisis. Purdue Pharma chairman Steve Miller entered the plea on behalf of his company to three criminal charges. They include providing incentives to doctors for writing more opioid prescriptions. Although the plea agreement reached last month called for $8.3 billion in penalties, the federal judge overseeing the hearing is holding the company liable for just $225 million. The CDC estimates 450,000 people died from opioid overdoses between 1999 and 2018. Long lines are forming at food banks from coast to coast ahead of Thanksgiving. Americans have been lining up in historic numbers at food banks as the pandemic adds to levels of food insecurity this year. News reports from states across the U.S. indicate that more people are facing food insecurity now than at any time in recent decades. And Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and my Ohio State Buckeyes are the top four teams in the first edition of this year's college football playoff rankings. The Crimson Tide earned the top spot after starting the season 7-0. The Fighting Irish are second, followed by the Tigers and Buckeyes. Texas A&M sits at fifth, while Florida is in sixth. And Cincinnati, Northwestern, Georgia, and Miami round out the top 10.
All right, so if we were to take that clip and isolate it and play it 25 years from now, and you were to be asked, what year was that ranking from?
I know. It's...
Would you be able to say?
No.
You wouldn't be able to say?
Powerhouse teams right there.
It's just, that's all the big hitters. Mm-hmm. All the big hitters. You're going to be watching some Thanksgiving football tomorrow, though?
Are you kidding me? Of course.
Okay.
I'm also in charge of the rolls and the broccoli for the
I was about to say, do we have Thanksgiving assignments so that we know who's free to watch football when? I'm in charge of stuffing. I'm doing some bacon and Parmesan Brussels sprouts in the oven.
Nice.
I've got a pomegranate and arugula salad. I got, what else do I have?
You're the gourmet.
I also got the mashed potatoes. I got the mashed potatoes.
Perfect. So it's not going to be a paleo Thanksgiving completely.
Well, I mean, the mashed potatoes are not paleo. Although, you know, butter... There's some people who are drinking bulletproof coffees right now, and they understand the role of butter in a paleo diet. So,
are you the new? Are you
keto? I get the two mixed up.
I have no idea. I'm just curious. Are you like regular bread stuffing, or are you cornbread stuffing?
Oh, the stuffing! The stuffing breaks every rule.
Really?
The stuffing. I'm going for an oyster and sausage stuffing.
Oh wow!
Yeah, with like. I was just chopping up the bread cubes last night. Oh, yeah. It's going to be a party. You know, in this world, you know, that's so crazy, I don't need any material possessions. I just need ingredients.
That's all I want.
That's all I want is the ingredients.
I could live off of Thanksgiving stuffing.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I love it so much. We got our eyes on Thanksgiving, certainly, here on the Sunrise Morning Show, but... It is Wednesday, November the 25th. Hope your plans for Thanksgiving are coming along well. Right now, it's 9 minutes past. With us again on the Sunrise Morning Show is Dr. John Bergsma. He's co-author of A Catholic Introduction to the Bible, the Old Testament. Dr. Bergsma, welcome back.
Good to be on with you, Anna.
It is good to have you. And today we'll continue to study the world of the Pentateuch and discussing the Hittites specifically. Where did the Hittites live?
Yeah, so the Hittites lived in what's modern-day Turkey, and they were a European people that spoke a language distantly related to English and all the other European languages, and they had a little bit of a connection to the Greeks as well.
Hmm. Now, when we're lining up sort of the timeline of the Old Testament with the timeline of, say, like secular history, when were the Hittites most prominent?
Well, their empire up in, again, what used to be called Asia Minor, but nowadays we think of as the nation of Turkey, they flourished between about 1800 to 1200 B.C., so we call that the second millennium B.C., so way back in time. And they really largely predated Moses. So by the time you say you've got Moses leading the people into the land of Israel, really Joshua led them in, you know. But anyway,
sure.
The Hittites are kind of fading out of the scene already by that time. So that's kind of interesting. These people were forgotten, you know, by the first millennium. To get ahead of ourselves a little bit, you know, to me, this shows the authenticity of these ancient books, because anybody writing later wouldn't have even remembered this culture. And yet, you know, the Pentateuch and even a few later books mention them and talk about the people of Israel interacting with them.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, they may not be as prominent as, say, Egypt in the Old Testament, but the Hittites do get a very nice mention in the book of Genesis. They were certainly nicer to Abraham than the Egyptians would be to Moses later.
Indeed. Yeah, we have a long chapter in Genesis 23 where Abraham has this long negotiation with the Hittites to buy a grave for the matriarch Sarah. Because the Hittites were in control of the land at that time. So that gives us a pretty good idea of, you know, the date of Abraham and the antiquity that we're dealing with here.
And where else, did you say they were mentioned elsewhere in the Bible? Where else? Just curious.
Sure. Well, you know, famously, Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. Remember that famous shameful incident with King David? Okay, so Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, was a Hittite. That's interesting. By that time, you know, the Hittite empire had collapsed, but you had ethnic Hittites wandering around and serving as mercenaries in different nations, and that's exactly what Uriah was doing.
Oh, I had forgotten about that. Very interesting. Now, when we look at why the Hittites would be important in our study of the Pentateuch and the Old Testament, can you tell us about the literary legacy of them?
Sure. It's really quite intriguing because they have long liturgical texts explaining in great detail how they worshipped and how they offered sacrifice. And, you know, we used to think that the laws for sacrifice in the Bible were really complicated, but, hey, they are a lot more simple than what the Hittites got into. So it helps give us a little perspective that, you know, Moses wasn't actually complicating things. He was actually simplifying how things typically worked back then.
But they're kind of similar, I guess.
They are, you know, they are with the use of blood and the offering of the animals. And I think I may have mentioned this before, Anna, but what we see is that God is taking kind of a ritual language, if you will, that the people of Israel were accustomed to from living among these other ancient peoples, and then saying something different with those rituals, you know. Speaking of a creator God who is invisible and loving through this same language of animal sacrifice and other customs.
Very cool. I think that's a good place to end for today. And we will look forward to picking it up and talking about the Canaanites next time, Dr. Birxma. In the meantime, we've got A Catholic Introduction to the Bible, the Old Testament, linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Dr. Birxma, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Talk to you next time.
I look forward to it. Thank you. All right, let's take a look at weather across the nation now. Showers and thunderstorms will be possible for the Mississippi, Ohio, and Tennessee valleys early today. Some storms will be on the severe side, bringing heavy downpours and gusty winds. The same line of storms will weaken as it moves into the Great Lakes, the Northeast, and Mid-Atlantic by the evening. Meanwhile, the Northwest, Northern Rockies, and Northern Great Basin will contend with heavy snow and rain showers throughout the day, thanks to a new system approaching the northern west coast. The highest elevations along the Cascades will see even heavier snow pile up, making travel dangerous. Otherwise, calm and pleasant conditions will be found across California, the Southwest, Four Corners, and the Great Plains on this day. In most years, considered the busiest travel day of the year. We got headlines coming up next. It's 16 past here on the Sunrise Morning Show.
I'm Matt Swaim, grateful the Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework, and services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels, online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
I have been a school sister of Notre Dame for 72 years.
Most senior Catholic sisters, brothers, and religious order priests serve for years with little pay.
I always taught the primary grades, and I loved it.
Today, hundreds of religious communities lack retirement funds. Your gift to the Retirement Fund for Religious helps provide medications and care. Please give to those who have given a lifetime.
Thank you, and God bless you 100-fold.
Donate at your local parish.
Planning to do a lot of your Christmas shopping online this year? If you're heading to Amazon, please don't forget that you can help the Sunrise Morning Show with your purchases.
Just turn off your ad blocker and go to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Amazon ad at the side of the page to do your normal shopping. We'll earn a commission, and you won't spend a penny extra.
No matter how big or small the purchase, it all helps and gives us a nice boost in funds at the end of the year.
So again, before you shop, go to sunrisemorningshow.com and click Amazon.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com. Click Amazon.
She was a mystic and reformer who died at the age of 33.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Catherine of Siena accomplished something no one thought possible. She convinced Pope Gregory XI to return to Rome after the popes had lived in France for almost the whole of the 14th century. They've been there ever since.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
18 pastors, Anna with headlines.
The government is carrying out a trial run of coronavirus vaccine distribution this week. Washington Archbishop Wilton Gregory has said he would not deny Holy Communion to President-elect Joe Biden. And the consistory to create new cardinals, including Archbishop Gregory, will take place this weekend in Rome despite the pandemic, though it will be different from years past. And also, Matt, though not part of my headlines, I want to extend our condolences and prayers for the repose of the soul of Nick Tom. As many people know, he is the former producer and fascinating facts guy on Cresta in the afternoon and has been long suffering and went to his reward yesterday. So please pray for all of our Ave Maria Radio family.
I know we're going to get into what we're grateful for with some of our listeners and what they've shared, but I want to express my gratitude for the role Nick played in my own career when I was a rookie producer of Catholic radio, and Cresta in the Afternoon was one of those shows where it was like, these people know what they're doing.
They got
you
this
know,
down.
And mm-hmm. and they know how to get good guests and have good conversations of consequence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, in those earliest years of the Sunrise Morning Show especially, saying, Nick, who do you know who could talk about, you know, X, Y, or Z? And Nick you know, anybody else could have said, who are you and what are you doing in my email? But Nick always was kind. He was always handy with resources for me, even though I had no business doing what I was doing. And he always treated me like a peer, and I'll never forget it.
And I always wondered where he how he decided on his fascinating fact to close out his news every day on Cresta.
Yeah, well, he is going to be missed.
He really is.
Please pray for his family.
Yeah, his wife, Jennifer, and their three kids.
Good guy.
So, may he rest in peace.
And praying for the whole Ave Maria Radio family this morning, because I know it's a tough loss for all of them as well. Well, we're thankful for you, and we're going to get into more of your gratitude comments here, hopefully before the hour's out. But if you want to register what you're grateful for, head over to our Facebook page, sunrisemorningshow.com. Click on Facebook. We got dozens of you already weighing in with gratitude notes. Check it out, sunrisemorningshow.com. Click Facebook. It's 21 past. Nothing goes better with dessert on Thanksgiving than a great cup of coffee, and Mystic Monk Coffee has a unique Thanksgiving blend specially crafted to accompany your feast.
Also, if you're thinking about Christmas gifts, they've got their popular Christmas roast ready for you to browse. And when you click the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com, you'll earn us a commission.
Pair the coffee with a Sunrise Morning Show mug or travel mug available in our online store, and you've got a great gift for the Sunrise Morning Show fan in your life.
Find the mugs and link to Mystic Monk Coffee at sunrisemorningshow.com.
The Baltimore Catechism asks, what do you call those graces or gifts by which we believe in Him, hope in Him, and love Him? These gifts or graces of God are called the divine virtues of faith, hope, and charity. There are certain things we can know about God on our own. By studying the stars, by looking at the movements of the world, we can come to recognize the existence of God. This is shown in the proofs of St. Thomas Aquinas, and this is taught in Vatican I. And yet, this does not reach the level of faith. Faith is something beyond us. In order to believe in God, I need God's help. In order to hope for salvation, I too need God's help, because I'm so liable to despair or to presumption. And finally, even in order to love God, I need God's love first to be poured into my heart. Let us then thank the Lord for giving us those very gifts by which we know Him, hope in Him, and love His eternal beauty. Reflecting on the Baltimore Catechism, I'm Dominican Father Ezra Sullivan.
Prayer of offering to the Lord Jesus. O Jesus, humbled in the Eucharist to be the source and center of charity of the Catholic Church and the strength of souls, we offer Thee our prayers, our actions, our sufferings, in behalf of Thy priests, to the end that each day may behold the wider extension of the kingdom of Thy Sacred Heart. Amen. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Don McCarthy.
From fathersofthechurch.com, we're joined now by Mike Aquilina to talk about one of the four last things that doesn't get as much press as the others. Mike?
Morning, Matt.
We talk about death, we talk about heaven, we talk about hell. I think a little bit of discomfort when we come to talking about judgment.
Well, that's right. You know, there's this built-in tension because our Lord tells us in the gospel, judge not lest ye be judged, right? So people have that in their brain that judging is a bad thing. But I think this is something we're supposed to turn not so much outward as inward. We can't really avoid making judgments, and we do this automatically. You know, when we look at something, we judge it good or bad. We judge it better or worse. This is something we do naturally. Our Lord did not want us to take God's position and make ultimate judgments about people's interior dispositions, because we don't know what's going on in people's hearts or souls. But we do automatically judge actions. It's what we do, and we do judge actions to be good or bad. What our Lord wants us to do is to turn that faculty inward and see where we are and make a clear judgment about ourselves. Self-knowledge is something that's been prized in every age of history, from every philosophy you can imagine, every religion, and this is something we should cultivate because it's especially useful in our own.
And it's something that you get a whole bunch of different messages in the culture and even among other Christians as to how this is supposed to work. So in one group of society, you get the kind of, I'm okay, you're okay, you can't judge anybody, you can't judge anything, because there is no right and wrong, there's just, you know, everybody doing their best, and who can say, right? But then you also got certain Christian camps who are once saved, always saved, faith alone types who say, in the extreme version of that, that it almost doesn't matter what you do if you believe, and that belief is what you'll be judged on, and the rest almost doesn't matter. But what does the church teach about how we're judged?
It's very simple. To believe in God is to know that you're living under judgment. To know that God is present everywhere is to know that right now, in this moment, I am being judged. I am being measured according to the ultimate standard of the God who told me, be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So that's a high standard, and we're always living under that judgment. You know, whether we acknowledge it or not, you know, I think of my kids, you know, when they were very small, they'd want to raid the cookie jar or whatever. They'd want to do something that was forbidden. So what would they do? They'd turn their back on me, because then they couldn't see me. And they figured, well, if I can't see him, then he can't see me. It's a kind of kid's logic that they try to live by. Well, it doesn't work so well because I can see them. The thing is, we try to do the same thing. We try not to think about God in those moments when we want to do something that we think maybe is forbidden or maybe God wouldn't approve of, and so we forget about him during those times. But God is always there with us, and if God is present, we are living under judgment. It's not something that happens at the end of my life or at the end of time, or at least not only then. It happens right now. It happens in real time, and it happens in real life.
It sure does. And you mentioned your kids wanting to hide from you. I mean, what's the first thing that happens when Adam and Eve sin? They hide, right? This is something that's so common. But I think that, you know, we feel this in our own lives where we do something or say something and we think we're perfectly fine, and then somebody calls us on it and we're like, oh no, this happens to me with my mouth all the time, which I use for work. And I'll say something with complete confidence, and maybe I'll even, you know, kick some a group of people to the curb with some snide remark that I make about people who think a certain way, and then someone I truly respect will pull me to the side and say, hey, listen, I know you thought you were being funny, but here's something you didn't think about. And I'm like, oh, no, right? Yeah. I think we all have those moments where we realize that we are under scrutiny. The things we do and say matter. We are judged on them, even if we aren't judged on them in that very moment.
Yeah, and November gives us that time, because this is the month where we traditionally think about the last things. Well, we think of judgment as a last thing, a final thing, because death is this great moment of clarification, all right? We always think we can put off the moment of repentance. We can always put it off, well, I'll get to that when I'm older. I'll get to that when I have time, whatever excuse we use. But then, you know, we're up against that wall. Well, we need to be called to an awareness of that finality of our own finitude, and to make the repentance now. So that's why we think about these last things during this month, so that we remember we're mortal. We remember we're dust, and to dust we will return. And we get ready for that moment. We should be living that moment in every moment.
And again, this is the church that is reminding us of this from the beginning. You mentioned the words of our Lord, judge not lest ye be judged, but the words of our Lord also tell us very clearly that we will be judged. And of course, the famous passage from Matthew 25, we are judged in some ways, but for what we do, we hear that we'll be judged, as I was just saying before, the one that really gets me, for every careless word that we uttered. But we also talk about God as a God of mercy. How is it important for us to understand God's justice in order to understand what we receive when we receive his mercy?
If we're not acknowledging sin, then we're not accepting mercy. We think that we're entitled. We think we have a right to something. Well, we have no right to these things. We have no right to divine things. God has made us to be partakers in the divine nature, and yet we've sinned against him. We've rendered ourselves unable to receive that. What we want to do is to accept the mercy that empowers us, really, that enables us to receive God's nature, to become partakers of the divine nature. We can't do that on our own steam, but God wants to give us that ability, wants to give us that that receptivity, but he's not going to force it on us. He wants us to accept it freely. He wants us to give consent because he knows that that's the only way we can love, and he's created us for the sake of love.
He certainly has, and I know that you've written a lot about the four last things in various articles, including some things that you've done for Angelus Press. If our listeners want to connect with you, Mike, where do they go?
Fathersofthechurch.com.
Linked, as always, at sunrisemorningshow.com. Half Pastor's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. The government is carrying out a trial run of coronavirus vaccine distribution this week. Shipments will be sent to state health departments, though they won't have any actual vaccine. The goal is to ensure everything goes smoothly as Pfizer waits on emergency approval. The FDA is meeting December 10th, and doses could be available soon thereafter. The Archbishop of Washington, D.C. has said he does not plan on denying Holy Communion to President-elect Joe Biden. In an interview with the Catholic News Service from Rome, where he's in the midst of a quarantine ahead of this weekend's consistory, Cardinal-designate Wilton Gregory said he hopes to respectfully point out disagreements while working with Biden when possible, saying he believes that, quote, too many people want to throw out of the family of faith people with whom they have disagreements, end quote. Biden is a practicing Catholic who departs from church teaching in his support for legalized abortion to be the law of the land. The Catholic News Agency reports that Archbishop Gregory says he hopes there will be genuine dialogue with Biden and said he believes that informed Catholics know church teaching on the sanctity of life and therefore will not be confused by cooperation with Biden on other issues. Meanwhile, Biden is previewing his agenda for the first 100 days in office. In an interview with NBC News, Biden said one of his biggest priorities is to take action on an immigration bill.
I will send a immigration bill to the United States Senate with a pathway to citizenship for over 11 million undocumented people in America.
Biden also said he wants to reverse some of President Trump's executive orders.
I will also be moving to do away with some of the, I think, very damaging executive orders that have significantly impacted on making the climate worse and making us less healthy, from methane to a whole range of things the president has done.
Another executive order that aides have said he plans to reverse is the Mexico City policy, which bans funds from going to international organizations that promote abortion. A new book from Pope Francis and journalist Austin Ivory, Let Us Dream, The Path to a Better Future, is set to be released soon. And earlier this week, an excerpt was published in which the Holy Father described personal moments of solitude in his life. From Vatican Radio, Devin Watkins reports.
Pope Francis says, I've experienced three COVID situations in my own life, my illness, Germany, and Cordoba. He says his first COVID-like moment came at the age of 21 when he fell deathly ill with a lung infection. He says the experience changed how he saw life and gave him a good idea of how people with COVID-19 feel as they struggle to breathe on ventilators. Pope Francis says two nurses helped him greatly during this stay in hospital. One saved his life because she upped his dosage of medication without the doctor's knowledge. Another performed a similar gesture of mercy with painkillers when he was in intense pain. From that near-death experience, says the Pope, he learned the importance of avoiding cheap consolations. Turning to his time in Germany in 1986, Pope Francis says he felt thrown off balance in a kind of solitude of non-belonging. He spent much time watching planes land from a vantage point at a cemetery in Frankfurt, pining for his homeland. Pope Francis goes on to describe his third COVID experience of solitude, which came between 1990 and 1992 during his time in Cordoba. He says this uprooting was a healing that came in the form of a radical makeover, especially focused on his way of exercising leadership. The Pope hardly left the house for nearly 2 years, calling it a sort of self-imposed lockdown which did him good. He wrote and prayed a lot and developed ideas. Cordoba says the Pope was truly a purification. It gave him greater tolerance, the ability to forgive, understanding, more empathy for the powerless, and especially patience. This final lesson, patience, taught him that change is organic and must take place within certain limits. The Pope adds that he learned the importance of seeing the big in little things and paying attention to the little in big things. Pope Francis says these three personal COVIDs taught him that greater suffering has the power to change you for the better if you allow it to. I'm Devin Watkins.
And Meghan Markle is revealing that she had a miscarriage over the summer. The Duchess of Sussex shared an opinion piece out in the New York Times that it happened one morning in July as she was looking after her and Prince Harry's son, Archie. She writes that she knew she was holding her firstborn child in her arms while losing her second. That's the news. It's 35 minutes past the hour. The
Planning to do a lot of your Christmas shopping online this year? If you're heading to Amazon, please don't forget that you can help the Sunrise Morning Show with your purchases.
Just turn off your ad blocker and go to sunrisemorningshow.com and click the Amazon ad at the side of the page to do your normal shopping. We'll earn a commission and you won't spend a penny extra.
No matter how big or small the purchase, it all helps and gives us a nice boost in funds at the end of the year.
So again, before you shop, go to sunrisemorningshow.com and click Amazon.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com, click Amazon.
Hello, I'm Father Timothy Shear, and these are Biblical Impressions. The pursuit of happiness is part of our American tradition. But it may come as a surprise that happiness is also part of the tradition in the Psalms. The very first psalm, for example, begins, "Happy are those who do not walk in the way of the wicked." And continuing this theme, a psalm later in the Psalter, 119, the longest of the psalms in the Bible, begins, "Happy are those whose way is blameless." Other psalms give us some insight into just how we might make our way happy. Psalm 32, "Happy is the one whose sins are forgiven." And Psalms 112 and 128, "Happy are those who fear the Lord." If we look at these psalms that begin with appeals for happiness, we get an idea of the prescription for happiness. It entails walking blamelessly with God, fearing the Lord, and being attentive to those in need. So if we're not happy on a given day, let's turn to the prescription offered to us in the Psalter. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Shear.
It is the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN. I'm Matt Swaim, joined now by Gary Zimak from followingthetruth.com. And we call this our Stop Worrying and Start Living segment because Gary's written a whole bunch of books about anxiety and worry and scriptures that we can focus on to help overcome those things. Gary, good morning.
Matt, good morning to you.
I know you've got some things that you're going to be working on for Advent. What you got?
I do, Matt. I send out a daily email devotional, "Let Go, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled." And for Advent, I'm going to be switching that over to a daily Advent devotional, focusing on overcoming anxiety as well. And if anybody's interested, all they need to do is visit my website, followingthetruth.com. Supply your email address, and we'll be all set. You'll get an email from me every day, as a reminder that Advent is a time to grow closer to the Lord and offering some help. And when you do that, you grow closer to the Lord, you break free from anxiety as well.
Well, I know, Gary, that our listeners, when they think about Thanksgiving here in the United States, they're thinking about the pilgrims and Squanto and a cornucopia. But they might be surprised to find that Thanksgiving's in the Bible. Not the holiday, but the concept.
Yeah, Matt, exactly. And that leads us to today's verse. Thanksgiving is a concept that we see mentioned several times throughout the Bible, but I'm going to go to one of the more popular passages in terms of anxiety. And this is one that I have used before, but There's a Thanksgiving aspect of this that I really want to highlight. It's St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And what Paul says is this: "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Matt, that sums it up. That sums up how we should handle our concerns, the problems we face every day. Instead of being anxious, present the problems to God. Pray about them, But not only pray, pray with thanksgiving. What happens when you do that? When you operate in that manner, you're going to receive the peace that you're looking for in the first place. So it works out perfectly. But Paul emphasizes the importance of being thankful, of praying, number one, because God is willing to hear us. He's always there for us. He's willing to hear us. And number two, he will always answer our prayers, not necessarily the way we would like, not necessarily as fast as we would like, but he's going to answer in the best way possible. And for that, Matt, we should be really thankful.
We should. Gary, I'm going to tell you something, and you're going to think that I'm making this up, but I'm not. So, yesterday at the Coming Home Network, we put out a Deep in Scripture episode, a special Deep in Scripture episode. Marcus Grody, former Presbyterian pastor, was going through his stuff, and he found an old cassette tape of a sermon he gave for an ecumenical prayer service when he was a Presbyterian pastor in Ohio in 1985. And so we were able to pull the audio from this cassette and cut about 6 minutes of it. And he did kind of a reflection on, what he preached on for Thanksgiving then and how he might preach the same, how he might preach differently now. I'll put a link on our Facebook page so you can go check it out. You know what verse he focused on?
What verse?
Philippians 4:6. So, like, it is the theme verse for this Thanksgiving week. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I mean, it's top of mind for me this week for a number of reasons.
Yeah, wow. And that shows you how the Holy Spirit works, because when I was thinking about what verse to use, that's the one that came to mind, even though there were several I could have chosen. But Matt, you know, I think we forget that sometimes. We forget that the mere fact that God is willing to help us, that he's there for us, that he's not going to say, listen, I'm too busy. I'm busy running the world. I don't have time for you. He's not going to say that. He'll always be there. That mere fact alone should make me incredibly thankful.
Well, there's a wonderful prayer of abandonment by Charles de Foucauld, and I think it captures part of the spirit. And he says, Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. That thanksgiving, that abandonment can only take place if we trust God. If we trust him because we know what he's done, so therefore we know what he can do. And bottom line, we know that whatever happens, it'll be what he has planned for us, and he wants what's best for us. That's the only kind of disposition that allows us to be thankful for things that haven't happened yet.
Exactly, Matt. And I think, you know, especially as we are approaching Thanksgiving holiday, this is a great time for us to reflect on all the blessings that we have. You know, a lot of times we focus on, especially those of us who tend to be anxious, we focus on what we don't have or on the fear of what might happen tomorrow. Instead of focusing on, wow, God has done all of these things for me in the past, starting with the fact that he's provided for my needs way back from the time I was first conceived until the present time. The mere fact that I'm alive proves that. So why wouldn't he provide for me in the future? And then, as you say, you can go forward with confidence and abandon yourself to him, to his loving care, because you know he only wants what's best for you.
It gives us a perspective on his providence because, you know, the stuff that we have, the things that we receive, the limbs and teeth and eyeballs that we have, the breath that we draw, it's all a gift. It's all a gift, Gary. I mean, I've been doing these grateful tweet things, you know, and I'm on day like 3780 right now. You would think that I'd run out of things to be grateful for, but every time I look anywhere, Gary, there's something else that I've neglected to be grateful for. All you have to do is just pay like a tiny bit of attention, and you can see how God has blessed you.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it takes a little work on our part, but not too much if you just think about it. I mean, it's incredible. The fact that we can have these conversations is due to God's providing the technology to allow it to happen. So, yeah, we all have so many things to be thankful for, starting with the fact that our Father created us to be in a loving relationship with him. He wants us. He willed us into existence so that we could be in a relationship with him. And if he did that, why would he not provide for our needs?
All right, Gary, last question. What are you in charge of food-wise this Thanksgiving?
I am in charge. I am in charge of the turkey, believe it or not.
They have to put the turkey in charge of the turkey. Oh, my goodness.
There you go. Oh, man.
Well, you have a blessed Thanksgiving holiday. Say hello to your family for us. Say hello to all the people listening in Philadelphia on Holy Spirit Radio. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Gary, and we're grateful for you.
Matt, thank you. I am grateful for you as well. God bless.
All right. And we're grateful for you all. We're going to talk more about gratitude through the lens of John Henry Newman with Stephanie Mann next, plus headlines. It's a quarter till.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, 844-313-4999, 844-313-4999, or online at solidarityhealthshare.org. Solidarityhealthshare.org.
Have you considered energizing your business marketing plan? The Sunrise Morning Show is heard across the U.S. on more than 360 Catholic radio stations, reaching millions of engaged listeners in the heart of the morning commute. You can speak directly to a loyal group of like-minded people who prefer to use businesses who share their faith and values. Find out more about underwriting the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. That's Leah at sacredheartradio.com.
I played with dolls just like you when I was little.
Really? You were little too?
We all start small. I even sucked my thumb. But you guys don't do that, right?
Well, sometimes. I still do a little.
And guess what? Now they have pictures of babies sucking their thumbs before they were even born.
Wow!
Yep, by 12 weeks, a baby can smile, suck her thumb, and even make a fist. Hi, my name is Angie. I work with ProLife Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of confidential counseling or information, or would like to support the work of ProLife Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. ProLife Across America is totally educational, non-political, and tax-deductible.
A baby is a baby is a baby.
Central Fabricators is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show. During these challenging times, it is comforting to have a media source like the Sunrise Morning Show to offer the Catholic perspective on news and current events, and to be able to hear from many of the most inspiring teachers of our faith. The Central Fabricator family encourages you to pray the rosary daily for an end to the coronavirus. May God bless your family, our nation, and the entire world from everyone at centralfabricators.com.
I have been a school sister of Notre Dame for 72 years.
Most senior Catholic sisters, brothers, and religious order priests serve for years with little pay.
I always taught the primary grades, and I loved it.
Today, hundreds of religious communities lack retirement funds. Your gift to the Retirement Fund for Religious helps provide medications and care. Please give to those who have given a lifetime.
Thank you, and God bless you 100-fold.
Donate at your local parish.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN. The EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. You can even make a donation. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number. 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
12 till, here's Anna with headlines.
The government is carrying out a trial run of coronavirus vaccine distribution this week. The Archbishop of Washington, Cardinal Designate Wilton Gregory, says he does not plan on denying Holy Communion to President-elect Joe Biden, despite his public support for legalized abortion. And the consistory to create new cardinals will take place this weekend in Rome, despite the pandemic, though it will look different from years past. You can hear news at the top and bottom of each hour right here on the Sunrise Morning Show. Right now, it's 11 till. Back with us now on the Sunrise Morning Show is Stephanie Mann. You can find her online at supremacyandsurvival.blogspot.com. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Anna.
And we are going to be talking about a reflection on gratitude by St. John Henry Newman. First of all, Stephanie, give us the context in which he made this particular sermon that we'll be discussing today.
The sermon is called Remembrance for Past Mercies, and evidently he gave it during the Christmas season, but it's really focused on an Old Testament, one of the Old Testament patriarchs, Jacob, who became known as Israel, one of those name changes. And so he's focusing on the actual, he calls it the virtue and our need to be grateful and to give thanks to God. And he uses Jacob as a particular example of a way of giving thanks to God for all the great things he has done for us.
Well, unpack that a little bit. How did Jacob show gratitude to the Lord?
Well, Newman gives kind of a contrast between Abraham and Jacob, two of the great patriarchs. He says Abraham is always looking forward and looking to what God will do for him and the hope that God will do to him to fulfill the promises he's made to him. On the other hand, he says Jacob is usually looking backwards and thinking of everything that God has done for him and how he, you know, chose him and led him in his way to, you know, become the founder of Israel, the 12 tribes, his 12 sons, and to make provision even in, you know, the amazing Technicolor dream coat of Joseph to prepare them for greater blessings even. But he's always looking backwards. And I think it's interesting how Newman is. He's almost sensitive to an Old Testament character. I mean, he analyzes him. He says that he's one of those men who's very, almost seems delicate in some ways, that his weakness is that he's easily downcast and he has to be helped and kept from becoming despondent because he is, in some ways, Jacob may be uncertain about what God is going to do for him. So he's always looking to the past to gain that kind of resolution to be faithful and to continue to give thanks.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting how he compared Jacob's perspective of gratitude to the perspective of Abraham.
Yes, because Abraham, he says, he appears to have always been looking forward in hope, and Jacob is always looking backward in memory. And this provoked in me the idea that so many times when we do, especially Thanksgiving, I think Thanksgiving Day, most families do some kind of thing to talk about what they're grateful for. And it's often, I mean, there's things that the present grateful for, that day and that gathering. But then it's often things in the past that we bring up. We're grateful that we were raised in a loving family. We're grateful that we got to know our grandparents or uncles. And we're grateful for memories in a lot of ways at Thanksgiving. And that's one of the reasons we do gather, is to share those memories again and think about people who have died, people who you haven't seen for a long time, and it is this kind of pattern of memory. But I think that's one of the fascinating things about Newman's sermon, is this bringing up remembrance of mercies past and how much we have received from God.
And Scripture is such a great place to start when wanting to look back on the mercies of God, and having it's such an important thing to have gratitude for those mercies past. I mean, if we know what blessings he gave to the people of God in the past, it helps us to recognize those same blessings from the Lord in our lives today.
Yes. And he also has this interesting line that I think kind of calls out to us, and maybe particularly those of us in the United States who have kind of been raised with this self-reliant view. He's, is it any happiness or any comfort to consider that we are our own? He's pointing out we're not independent. We're always dependent on others. We're always dependent on God. We're not self-sufficient or independent. It may be a nice idea to think that we are that way, but we really aren't. We're in community, and particularly we're in the community of God's family and His church. And that's our home. And so we have that. He brings out that aspect too. And of course, Jacob, he knew he wasn't on his own. Everything that came to him in his life came about because of God's providence for him. And so that was, again, part of that theme of remembering what God has done for us.
And so let's move out of the sort of abstract, if you will, and move into the concrete. What are some of the things that he points out that we as the people of God should be grateful for?
Oh, he has a long list. He says we need to think of the many mercies he has given to us, the many sins that God has not remembered, the many dangers he has averted, the many prayers he has answered, the many mistakes he has corrected, the many warnings, the many lessons, the light, the abounding comfort which he has given us from time to time. And so he says, let us dwell upon those times and seasons, even the times of trouble, but the times of trial, the times of joy, times of refreshments, how he's always been with us, how God has guided us and protected us, and even in some ways restrained us from sin and our passions, how he's always guided us in his way, that he has been all things to us.
So beautiful. And you've got some really lengthy passages in your post on this over at supremacyandsurvival.blogspot.com. One of the lines that stood out to me, and maybe it's because of the time that we're in, Stephanie, and I'm hoping that you can close us off by reflecting on this just a little bit. He said, how did he guide us in that dangerous time when the mind began to think for itself and the heart to open to the world? How did he, with his sweet discipline, restrain our passions, mortify our hopes, calm our fears, enliven our heaviness, sweeten our desolateness, and strengthen our infirmities?
Well, it is a beautiful passage. That one thing is, he doesn't really want us not to think for ourselves, but he doesn't want us to stray from reality, because the reality is God, and the reality is the world that God has created. And so he's telling us, keep on that, and don't stray away from the truth, the beauty of God, and then be thankful for all that you've received.
Most definitely. Thank you so much, Stephanie Mann. You can find her piece on this at supremacyandsurvival.blogspot.com. And speaking of gratitude, Matt, I'm seeing 57 comments so far on Facebook.
So far.
With listeners telling us what they are thankful
for. Many of you thankful for your health. Many of you thankful for your family. Many of you thankful for the gift of faith. Many of you thankful for even the way that the adversity of this past year has drawn you closer to the people that you love. So if you want to weigh in on that conversation, check it out at sunrisemorningshow.com. We would love to hear from you, and click on to the Facebook page.
Have a blessed Thanksgiving, everyone.
May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace and happy Thanksgiving. Talk to you soon.
Family, with the end of